Hi, everybody. Will Alexander from Will Alexander's Dog Show Tips, brought to you by Canine Chronicle TV. Today we have on the interview chair Mr. Mark Threlfall. Growing up, Mark was one of my heroes. I used to sit and watch him show dogs all the time. He influenced a lot of things I did. So this should be a great interview, at least for me to experience. Hope you enjoy yourself. Today we're here with one of my idols, Mark Threlfall. Hey, Mark, how are you today?
Good, Will. You doing all right?
Yeah, I'm doing good. Huh? How's everybody there? Looks like it's busy anyway. People working in the background there.
Yeah, that's my wife and my stepdaughter.
Hi, girls. Hi, Judy.
Yeah, they're the best kind of work. We don't really have to pay them.
There you go. So you're okay?
A little rough spot with COVID. You know, I mean, people were just staying home, but I think what it got to was a point where they were sick of looking at their dogs, and their dogs were sick of looking at them. So they started bringing them here.
Excellent.
So yeah. It worked out.
Well, we've been without shows now since, I guess, the fall. And now we're having our first set of shows. They closed this Wednesday. So,
oh really?
Yeah. So,
yeah. Evan and Stacy have been going to Florida.
Yeah, Florida seems to keep going.
Which is no short trip from New Hampshire.
No, exactly.
The closest they've gotten to home, I think, is where they are this weekend in Tennessee.
Yeah.
So
you have to go where the hay is growing.
Well, the weather's, you know, they can get shows outside there. Yeah. Here, if somebody said, oh, let's have a show, you know, in February in, you know, New Hampshire.
It's like having a show up here in February.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so anyways.
All right, Mark, let's get started. Tell me how you first got involved in the sport of dogs.
I got involved. I have to thank a fellow by the name of David Whitney. He was, when I was in high school, of course, our homeroom was, the homerooms were all divided alphabetically. So the first people at A, B, C, and the last name were in first room. They were in second room. I was, of course, in the last, having a T last name. Well, David Whitney sat right behind me because there was no U and V, but Whitney was, he was right behind me. So I was 16 years old, and I decided I wanted to buy a car. I mean, you know, you got to use the term loosely. It was barely a car.
Yeah.
But he said, oh, you ought to work where I work. And I said, where's that? And he said, it's at a kennel. And I said, well, what do you do? He said, well, what do you think you do at a kennel? So anyways, it was a place called Harmo Kennels in New Hampshire, Amherst, New Hampshire. And it was owned by a very wealthy lady by the name of Anna Mosier. Her family name was Harrington, and her family owned the Paul Revere Life Insurance Company. And she bred poodles and dachshunds, and Bill Trainer showed the dogs for her. So after I worked there a year or so and got to know Bill a little bit, he would occasionally ask me, hey, would you like to come to a show this weekend? It's up near you, and I could use some extra help. So I started doing that, and that was what I really, really liked. So about the time I was ready to graduate, I was supposed to go to college, and I told my parents, well, I think I'm going to take a, you know, gap year. Although they didn't consider it a gap year. They considered it suicide.
Yeah, drop it now.
You're going to do what? But I went to work for him, and I ended up working for 4 years for Bill. And then I got to know Janie and Bob a little bit. Elliot Moore was working for Janie and Bob at the time. And I knew Elliot, and he said he was thinking of leaving. And I said, I don't think I'm maybe, you know, changing. And so we swapped. I went to work for Janie and Bob. He went to work back to Bill. He'd worked there before. And then 5 years for Janie and Bob.
Now, when you were working for Bill, was Garrett there?
Yep, for a little while. Yep. I knew Garrett from working for him when I still working for him when I still worked at Harmo. I remember him very well. I mean, I remember the stories of him working for Tommy Glassford and, you know, sleeping under the van with his purple blanket sometimes. I loved him, though. I loved Garrett. He was one in a million, really.
Well, apparently, when he left Canada to work down there, he was Lawrence Lambert. And when he came back, he was Al Garrett.
Yes. Yeah. No, I got to really like, you know, Garrett's a lot. And I really respected him. Whenever he was in the ring, that was your competition, really. He was tough to beat. So after 5 years of Janie and Bob's, I went to Bob and I said, okay, Bonnie and I are thinking of, you know, moving on, going out on our own, unless you can tell me you're going to retire within the next year or two. You know, if you can give me an end date, then I'll think about staying. And he said, oh, no, we're doing good. We'll probably go for a few years anyways. And I said, okay, well, this was in April. And I said, okay, at the end of the year, we're going to leave.
Now, what year was that?
I'm going to say 1980, maybe not even that late. But I don't remember those years anymore. So anyways, along comes the end of the year. And I can remember that he didn't tell Janie for a long time. And actually, Bonnie overheard him telling Janie, and her response was something he can't put on this anyways. But anyway, so we left. And the kick in the butt is that they only ended up just lasting another year after we left. So, because he said, you know, if I was wanted to stay, oh, you can take over the place. You can, you know, we'll put up a lease agreement. Mm-hmm. But as it worked out, he went to Pennsylvania and set up there. And that's where I am now. several moves later. And, you know.
Who do you consider your mentors in the sport? You talked about Bill and you talked about Bob and Jane.
Well, of course, I'd have to say Janie was probably the one. She was the one. I was very close to Bill, but I actually got closer to Janie. Mm-hmm. You know, I got to the point where I could finish sentences for her, really. She liked it because I understood her view of showing dogs and could go ahead and I could make decisions and saying, you go here, you know, I'll send somebody else over to this dog. And she knew my drive was to try to get her to all her dogs. Mm-hmm. She understood that. So, and she knew I went crazy trying to do it sometimes. But she really, really is the one, because she treated it as a business, first of all. You know, that was to her what it was. She loved the loved dogs, loved what she was doing. But this was somebody who'd grown up in the Depression. She was born in, I think, 1929. And they went through financial difficulties when she was a kid. And she left school in, I think, in the seventh or eighth grade. Wow. And went to work for a German Shepherd breeder, I believe. And started with nothing. I mean, really nothing. And she was one she put away. She always told me, she said, I always try to put away at least half of what I made, which is, I mean, anybody that can do that, it's going to add up, you know. But it was even, you know, she, even though she had money, she always dressed like a kind of like a slob back then. And I can remember the story she told me about when she went into a car dealership and wanted to buy a Cadillac. And she said, he said, how are you going to pay for this? And she said, I'll write you a check. And he said, what are you kidding? You know, she said, call the bank. And the guy at the bank said to him, he said, we'll honor a check in any amount. that Miss Camp writes. So it was her Cadillac. And she was smart. She wanted to make the money, good to her dogs and stuff, tough on her help, but she treated it as a business. And that's why she was as successful as she was, is because to her it was a business. People who let their hearts and their emotions and their likes and dislikes creep in there are not always making good business decisions. And that's what you have to do. It's putting food on your table. So
what was it like when you were working with it, with that kind of string? Like, we hear stories now of like 50 dogs, 70
oh,
dogs.
Yeah. Yeah. Most I remember, somebody told me tales that they had 100 dogs at one show one year. Now, I personally worked at Philadelphia for them when we had 75 dogs, and there was just three of us working for it. I mean, this was like, you know, it's just a madhouse. Things are happening fast, and you have to really stretch to keep up with them. And that was kind of my job. We had people back at the crate, a couple of people back at the crates doing them up. Then we had other dogs that we met ringside and stuff. But I was the one that had to keep track of everybody. Where is everybody? Where are, you know, who can I get? Can I get Janie into this dog and out in time to get to that dog? And it was kind of tough. I went home from a Philadelphia show and I had to go to the dermatologist. I broke out in like little red pimple things all over my body.
Anxiety.
I said, this is from nerves.
Yeah.
I said, well, I got good reason then. But it was a great learning experience. It was rough, but it was the best teaching you could ever ask for. I mean, you made the right kind of decisions. You had the most talented person that I've ever seen show a dog working for you, doing her best. When you said to Janie, run, I need you to run over to ring eight, she ran over to ring eight. I mean, she didn't sit there and talk to three people on the way over. She knew it was tight and she had to go. And she would. She was as good as she could be and expected you to be as good as you could be. So I loved her. I really did. She was a wonderful gal.
Those are amazing stories. Now you hear stories of obviously of the setup and whatnot and the tricks being played on each other and something. Those are hilarious.
But most times it was just three people.
Yeah.
Two at the bus and me running rings.
Who drove?
Me.
Did you really? Wow.
Oh yeah. 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 The first garden I worked for them at, we went in. Bob drove the bus in, went through the garden. The next Wednesday morning, Bob came over. He said, Janie and I are going to the dog riders lunch. And he said, here's the keys to the bus. It's parked down someplace. You drive home. I'm like, oh, really? So what I did was I grabbed one of the Foley boys. And the Foley boys back then, several of them were bus drivers during the week. And I walked, asked him to walk down to the garage, and he gave me like a tutorial between the parking garage and the garden. And he pulled it up the ramp, and we loaded it up, and he said, good luck. And I had to back it down the ramp and then go drive in New York City traffic.
You know, plus that sounds frightening, Mark.
Yeah. I had the other couple of people in the bus looking out those side windows. Am I going to hit anything? It's like, it was a nightmare. It really was. Oh, I was never so glad to see Janie's, you know, kennel when I pulled in there.
Yeah.
That was a feat, was trying to pull into this little narrow driveway from a little narrow road and go in and then make an L. And if you didn't stop in time, you'd run into Janie's house. So, I mean, it was a learning experience unlike any other.
Well, I'm sure.
I mean, they didn't teach you. They didn't, like, give you lessons. They made you work it out on your own.
Like
Bobby Fisher, who worked there for a number of years, he said, they didn't tell me how to trim, but he said, where else could you work that you'd get, you had 50 Fox Terriers to trim. That you could trim, you know, anytime poodles, just trim them, just do this. He said they gave you opportunity. He said what they did what you did with it was up to you. So it was a great opportunity.
Yeah, well, it's amazing. That time just sounds like, I guess it's unheard of nowadays. You would never think of that kind of operation nowadays. 20 dogs is a lot of dogs now.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So what year did you guys go on your own? 80, 81, you said?
Let me see. We were married in 75. It would have been 80.
What was the first big dog when you were on your own?
When I started, the first dog, you start off in the beginning and everybody thinks, oh, well, they're going to win this, they're going to win that. I go, there's like 100 people lying in front of me, you know. But anyways, the first dog that I started doing any winning with was a smooth fox terrier for Mrs. Farrell. Now, it was a few years after we started that Mrs. Farrell, she went to Peter, who obviously had done well by her, winning the gardens with Stingray. And he had the dogs for a while, but Mrs. Farrell was used to having Janie there showing her dogs. I mean, that was her and Mrs. Cheever Porter were the two big, big clients. And Peter showed a lot of terriers. He had, you know, this one and that one that he was showing dogs for. And I think she got a little annoyed when, you know, other people would start it. Other people she wouldn't have hired on her own to show the dogs. And I mean, somebody, when you own a shipping company, you know, you're not used to taking backseat to anybody. So she finally said, well, I let him call me and said, well, you go down and pick up the dogs at Peter's. And I'm going like, oh boy, this is going to be fun.
Yeah.
anyways, I had a fox terrier for him, a little dog by the name of Foxton Horsebite, who I got 10 best in shows on. And that's not that easy a breed, unless you're Rick Kashutian.
Yeah.
But that's not that easy a breed to win big with, because they're not fancy. They're just plain. And 10 best in shows, actually, the one she had before that won the most was a dog that Peter got for her when Janie was showing her dogs by the name of Ebony Box. And Ebony Box, I think, had like 6 with Janie. And I got 10 on this dog. And, you know, that was a feather in my cap, I thought.
Sure. And that was a good client. You were still young and starting out, really. So
Yeah. And you know, that was when Bobby was going great guns with Rowdy.
Oh.
And those two dogs hated each other. I mean, they hated each other. You couldn't let them see each other. I mean, if I was in the line waiting in a group and Bobby was moving Rowdy down and back, if Rowdy took spotted Ted, which was Horsebite's name, if he spotted Ted, he'd just spin over and bite Bobby in the leg. He's told me he had to bite something, you know. I mean, yeah, it was, but anyways, he was a nice little dog, and I was happy to do the winning four that I did. So,
sure. And, I want to touch on Robert. Mm-hmm. He's one of my all time favorites. Can you give me the story of Robert?
Yeah. Kelly had a, Kelly Fitzgerald, you know, who ran Julie Gas House, Sally Lane, for a number of years, forever, just about it seems. She had him, actually, she brought the litter for us to see Montgomery weekend. And we're outside, and I'm not going to think of the name of the hotel that we stayed at, but she brought the whole litter, and Bonnie, you know, she's the breeder, was going over them and looking at this and looking at that. And she picked out one night. I said, don't tell me which one you like. And I like to look at a whole litter and just let them stand around, do what they want to do, and, you know, let me watch them. And I picked Robert out, and Bonnie said, yep, that's the one I picked too. And he went back with Kelly because he was, of course, 8 weeks old.
Of course.
Yeah. She showed him, and he was not a happy dog in the ring. She got him finished. And she asked me to show him in a couple of places, and he wasn't a happy dog in the ring. He was, I could get his tail up, but you had to watch him. And he, you know, and that's the most nerve-wracking way to show a dog, is when you, who doesn't like noises and doesn't like this and that, and you know, you're looking what's going to spook him next, you know.
Right.
Is it going to be the person leaning over the ring with the camera, or is it going to be, you know. So anyways, she sent him home, and I started showing dogs for the Herzigs, Roger and Donna Herzig, who showed Mike Kemp was their handler at the time. And they were getting a little annoyed with Mike, and I think they left and brought their beardies up to us. And I think it was a mutual kind of thing, really, you know. So we had Thunder, Beardy, and then at the garden, the first year I was showing dogs for him, I believe, I talked to Danny Herzig, and he said, my mom's getting a little crazy with this Beardy thing. I mean, she was competing with Michelle Ritter, who was doing a lot of winning, you know, her dogs. And she said, my dad and I think we ought to get another dog. So give her something to, it wrecks her day when
that's better.
She gets beaten, you know, Beardies. So anyways, I said, well, look, I have this dog. I said, I don't know if he's going to make it. I said, if he turns his head around and decides he likes this, I said, this can be a big winning dog. I said, he's beautiful, really. And so I brought, I showed Robert to Danny because he was entered. I don't recall if he won a breed, probably not. I showed him to Danny. He went over and met Julie in the hotel room and called his mom. And she said, if Mark thinks this is the right dog, tell her we'll take him. So we took him, tried to get him out in the beginning. And he just, again, he wasn't sure of himself. It's what it was. And so I was talking to, the Greater Philadelphia Kennel Club show, and English Cockers were starting. I had just watched Springer's, and Kelly had him. This was the weekend I picked him up. Kelly had him. She won the breed with him. The next dog in the ring under Annie was an open dog English Cocker that I had. And she said to me, Ruthie is going on and on about this condor dog of Julie's. She said, and I just don't see it. And I said, oh, well, you know, I said, maybe he's just not been anywhere. As I said, it's tough with Julie. You know, they don't have a lot of people that see the dogs, really. And I figured, well, boy, this is a great thing. I haven't even shown him yet. And I hear the word that Annie doesn't like him.
Yeah.
So I wanted to say, well, I'm taking him home Sunday. So, but anyways, I showed him. He was kind of creepy. So I talked to Annie about it. And I said, look, I said, you know, you got any advice for me with this dog? And she said, oh, you know, it was the usual stuff. Take him out, take him around places, get him used to noises and stuff. He was worse in the summer. As soon as he got hot, the tail would go down. And so we brought him home and home from that show. And we started putting him on this regimen of every day, twice a day, he'd do 40 minutes on a treadmill. And with somebody standing in front of him and just with a fine choke and just lifted his, every time he tried to put his head down, they'd lift it back up with choke and they'd stand on the side and keep scratching his tail up. And we went about 4 months with that. And it was a Valley Forge Kennel Club. I brought him out for Annie was doing the group, breeding the group. And I brought him out. She gave him the breed, gave him the group. And she said, hey, our plan worked, right? I said, yeah, well, it's working. We're still working on it. But anyways, she got to like the dog. And Annie was, you know, Annie had a lot of followers. I mean, if you had a dog that Annie liked, it had open doors for you.
For sure, yeah.
So he just started taking off. And we were very careful to keep him cool and all that. And, you know, he really ended up winning 103 best in shows, I think it was. So he got, so he was one year on, was on like those Chester Valley grounds or whatever it was. We've been 100 times. I was showing the dog in a group to Bob. And I take the dog down and back. And then I knew Bob was going to have us go around. Well, before I could get him gathered and take off, he took off. And he went around the whole ring and went to the back of the line and stood there looking for me. He knew what was coming next. You know, that's one of the troubles with the breed. They think they know what you want, and they don't wait for your instruction. They figure, I got this, you know. So I'm back there with the dog, and everybody's laughing because the dog didn't need me, obviously, to go around. And Bob comes down, and he takes the lead, and he ties it around my wrist. And he tied it so damn tight I couldn't get it off. And my hand's turning blue. I went in a group, and I had to cut the lead off my arm. Anyway.
Well, that 93 Garden was one of my all-time favorite gardens to attend.
So. Oh. That, you was, know, that,
that was exciting.
It was when I first saw the judging panel come out, I told the girl that was working for us, Gina, I said, you see that Springer over there? I said, you are going to marry this dog for the next year. I said, because he's got a, these judges could really keep pushing this dog all the way through. I think he's got a real good shot at winning it. So everywhere he went, she went, and he was prayed. Every hair was prayed over, you know, exercise all the time. And by then he was an automatic show dog.
Yeah, he was. I enjoyed watching Robert. Every time I saw him, well, every time I came down, because I was always coming to your area. So I got to see Robert, and he became one of my all time favorite dogs. People ask you, what dog would you have liked to have shown? And I was like, I would have loved to have shown Robert, but it would have scared me to death to show
Robert. Yeah, if you came back with a best of opposite ribbon, I would have shot you.
Well, I don't know if you remember, at one point you said, why don't you finish him in Canada? I'm like, no way. I couldn't do it. I couldn't. I'd be so scared, you know.
Come back with a reserve. Great work, Will.
I knew you could do it.
I was counting on you. First one of these you ever won.
Yeah, thanks. I'll file that one away. So that was 93. You had some great dogs after 93 as well. Any dogs? What dogs stand out in your head that you loved, you would have loved to have shown or just made an impact on you?
Oh, the dog that I really, really loved was Bill's Kerry.
Oh, yes.
That dog gave me goosebumps every time I saw him.
Mick.
I mean, thank God he wasn't being shown when Robert was out. You know, that was, if I had one of my all-time best in show ring, he'd be in it. He really would. I loved him, and I thought he was spectacular, really. The best dogs, Peter's, Spot On. Mm-hmm. He was a big dog, but, I didn't think there was anything wrong with him outside of that. Really. If size was an issue to you, you couldn't beat him really. And that was the first time I saw, two wires at the time was, Spot On and George's dog name that, God, I'm not going to think of it. George Ward.
Wasn't Dominator, was it? No.
No. Yeah. Yeah, it was. Eric Dominator. That's what it was. That Michael, whatever his name was, owned. And I wanted to go and see this breed at the garden. And I just walked away. I said, I'll be back in 10 minutes. I want to see this because I want to see these two dogs side by side. And I'll tell you, George's dog looked good, but Peter's dog standing there looked like if he moved, he was going to crack.
Really?
Everything was so together, so fit together. So, you know, just excuse me while I silence this. So he was like a model of the breed, like just a statue. He was perfect. There was not a hair sticking out. There was not, the legs were perfect. I mean, just, I thought that would have been a fantastic dog to show. Sporting dogs, you know, I keep going back. You had a couple of good ones. You had your, you know, a lot of good English setters. You had really nice Irish setters. You had good Gordons. You were a good sporting dog, man. You had, I could have picked any of those and wanted, just felt I'd like to show them. I think they belong right up there.
Appreciate that.
A couple of Bichons, but they weren't trimmed back then, like, you know, back then, like they are now. I mean, if you see Scott Summers trimming his thing, what the hell? Scott's a wonderful trimmer, and everybody's, back when I was showing them, they were kind of a different looking breed. I mean, I showed them at the time long after Teddy started showing them. I mean, they were, you look at those pictures now, you wouldn't guess they were Bichons.
Well, they were like longer case and lower station, and they had that
longer, and the hair that they showed on them was not shaped at all, really, you know. And it was a different kind of animal. Mm. But I think sporting hounds have never been my thing. I mean, I grew up in a dachshund kennel, and, you know, Janie had Afghans and things like that, lots of different hounds, Whippets. I mean, Hetty, the Whippet, and I'm not going to think of her name that Bob showed, the bitch. She was a beautiful bitch, and I would have liked, and she was animated enough that you could, you know, usually Whippets look and go like, ew, really? But she was animated. She was a cutie to have around. I don't know. What are some of yours?
Who's doing this?
Well, I'm trying to, maybe something will spark. You
Robert,
know,
Robert was one of mine. Robert, I have in the gun dog group or sporting group, I have Robert, and I was always fond of Marquis, but I was a kid when I saw Marquis, so he was stuck out in my head, you know, and that being my family's breed. And I always liked the dog Jeannie had, that Bold Venture dog too. I always was fond
of that when I was a kid. Stan.
It was just Irish setters were my thing. And I went into English Cockers too a little bit when Mr. Eldridge helped me. So
they're gonna
stop us here in a second.
Three minutes and 35 seconds.
Hmm?
3 minutes and 35 seconds.
Yeah, I wonder why they're doing that to me. They don't usually do that to me. Okay.
I don't know.
We better ask another question then. I'm gonna close up here. What final question? If you could give advice to a 20-year-old Mark Threlfall, what advice would you give him?
I'd have to say, don't take things personally. Kind of roll with the punches more than I did. I was a little bit of a, you know, if you tore into me, Janie cured me of that. Mm-hmm. You know, if Bill had ripped into me, I would have been kind of like, oh, geez, you know, what'd I do?
Yeah.
Janie, she ripped into everybody. So it wasn't like, you couldn't take it personally because the next day it was somebody else. So, but I don't think I made too many mistakes, really. I tried to always listen and learn. And, you know, whenever I could watch, you know, if I could go watch somebody show dogs, even when I worked for Bill, I'd go over and watch Janie. I loved watching, you know, her judge. I liked watching Annie judge. I liked watching Mike judge. I think it's just, you got to make a commitment, and you can't do this and something else. You've got to do just this. You've got to commit your mind, your body, and your time and your talent to showing dogs. It's got to be everything to be really successful. Yeah, you can't go, well, this is my weekend job and I'm this and I'm that, because you got to go to as many shows as you can go to, and you got to go where you think you can win. And, you know, really, it's something that takes more than just, it's not just a job, it's a life.
No question.
So,
All right. It was great to see you and catch up, Mark. It looks like
it was great. We got this stuff working for us.
Yeah. Technology. Pete with frozen pizza, as far as I'm concerned.
It's good seeing you, Will. You do a good job at this.
I hope to see you soon at some shows. You gonna try to be at the Garden or no?
I haven't thought about that yet, really. I mean, it's not that far for us. We can run down for a day or two, you know, not a big deal. It's not like trying to stay in the city. It's, you know, so you'll probably see me there.
Well, I hope to see you there then. All right. Well, thank your crew back there for helping us out.
Yeah, I will. I'm telling them to send their love. Okay.
All right, Mark. You have a great rest of the day.
Good seeing you, buddy.
Good seeing you too, brother.
So long.
Bye-bye.
Well, thank you, Mark. It was great to see you and reminisce and catch up. If you like what you're seeing here, make sure you press the like, share, and subscribe button. If you want to get a hold of me, go to dogshowtips@gmail.com. Or if you just want to find out what's happening in Will's world, go to willalexander.net. And don't forget that these are all available on podcasts on Apple and Spotify. Until next week, talk to you soon, guys.